From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news read by Putri. First, the headlines. Minister Ida Fauzia pushes for providing social security for domestic workers. And Ministry of Health said that need 30 million more Sinovac vaccine doses for children. Now the news in detail. Minister of Manpower Ida Fauzia has continually pushed for the provision of health care and social security for domestic workers and has consistently disseminated information on the rights. As quoted by Antara, Minister Fauzia, while opening the virtual discussion on National Women's Movement for the Protection of Domestic Workers on Wednesday, November 3rd, remarked that the number of domestic workers with social security in employment and health is still low. She also said that the data shows the number of domestic workers covered by social security, both in health and employment, is still very minimal. The Indonesian Ministry of Health has estimated that it will need 25 to 30 million additional Sinovac vaccines for inoculating children aged 6 to 11 years. As reported by Antara, spokesperson for COVID-19 vaccinations for the Ministry of Health, Siti Nadia Tarmizi, on Wednesday, November 3rd, explained that the government should make efforts to fulfill this vaccine need by securing around 25 to 30 million additional doses of Sinovac vaccine since the current order is not enough to meet the needs of vaccines for children. She also affirmed that the currently available vaccines are being prioritized for adults and the elderly because they are more at risk of serious illness. The Australian Consul General in Makassar, Bronwyne Robbins, began her first official visit to North Sulawesi on Wednesday to explore the potential for cooperation in the economic, education, and health sectors. As quoted by Antara, Robbins said in a press release issued in Makassar the same day said that she is delighted to make her first official visit to North Sulawesi on Wednesday to learn more about the close relationship between North Sulawesi and Australia. She further said the meeting was an opportunity to deepen the cooperation that has been established between the province of North Sulawesi and Australia, including economic cooperation in the tourism and agriculture sectors. According to her, the cooperation also encompasses the handling of clean water and sanitation. The Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry is conducting joint training on the development and utilization of renewable energy with two partner countries, Nepal and Madagascar, from November 2nd to 4th, 2021. As reported by Antara, head of the Center for Human Resources Development for Electricity, New Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation at the Ministry, Laude Sulaiman, provided details on the joint training on Wednesday. He further said developing and utilizing renewable energy requires implementation of right regulations and action plans, supported by increasing the capacity of human resources. He informed that the virtual training has been titled Training on Rural Electrification through micro hydro, solar photovoltaics, and waste to energy. Moving to international news, the UN Security Council on Wednesday, November 3rd, unanimously extended its authorization of an EU-led peacekeeping force in Bosnia-Herzegovina for another year, but removed any mention of the office of an international peace envoy to win support from Russia and China. As reported by Reuters.com, November 4th, Russia and China do not recognize the office of the High Representative, which oversees the implementation of a 1995 Bosnia Peace Accord. In a report to the 15-member Security Council, Christian Schmidt, a former German minister who took up the role as High Representative in August, warned that Bosnia-Herzegovina was facing the greatest threat to its existence. Meanwhile, Russia's UN Ambassador Vasily Nebenzia accused Western colleagues of a dismissive attitude towards Bosnia-Herzegovina's sovereignty. He said there was a lack of desire to step outside of the image of a guardian of Bosnia and Herzegovina, who has a right to dictate to the Bosnians how they are to build their state and how they are to govern their country. The Pentagon on Wednesday, November 3rd, rejected claims by Iran's Revolutionary Guard that they thwart an attempt by the United States to detain a tanker carrying the Islamic Republic's oil in the Sea of Oman. As reported by Reuters.com, November 4th, Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby told reporters that he has seen the Iranian claims. They are absolutely, totally false and untrue. It's a bogus claim. Kirby also said the only seizing that was done was by Iran. American officials said that in reality, Iranian forces had seized a Vietnamese-flagged oil tanker last month, and U.S. naval forces were just monitoring the situation. The UK government says that major coal users, including Poland, Vietnam, and Chile, are committing to shift away from fossil fuel in commitments made at the COP26 climate summit. As quoted by BBC.com, November 4th, coal is the single biggest contributor to climate change. The UK also said 190 nations and organizations had vowed to quit coal, but some of the world's biggest coal-dependent countries, including Australia, India, China, and the US, did not sign up to the pledge. Signatories to the agreement have committed to ending all investment in new coal power generation domestically and internationally. The UK further said they have also agreed to phase out coal power in the 2030s for major economies and the 2040s for poorer nations. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Oh, Currently, some countries are meeting at the COP26 in Glasgow, Scotland, until November 12, 2021. This conference aims to accelerate the Paris Agreement in a bid to suppress the climate change impact caused by the greenhouse gas emission. The latest report in 2021 by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is quoted from reindonesia.org, revealed that greenhouse gas emission, including carbon dioxide, is the main cause of climate change that results in a chain reaction such as extreme weather, rising sea level, disasters such as drought and flood. The global greenhouse gas emission, which had risen by 42% in the last two decades, indicated a worse climate crisis will happen sooner. All efforts to suppress greenhouse gas emission needs to be done right now. All countries, including Indonesia, must join hands in reducing the greenhouse gas emission. Otherwise, there will be a great impact, including against the economy. Indonesia set the 29% greenhouse gas emission reduction target by itself and 41% with international support by 2030. The Indonesian government is committed to achieve the target. The commitment has been written in the nationally determined contribution document. The Indonesian government is very serious in implementing the commitment to achieve the greenhouse gas emission target. The Indonesian government had implemented various policies and taken strategic moves, one of which was the Carbon Economic Value Policy. In the COP26, President Joko Widodo stated that he had ratified the presidential decree on carbon economic value. Meanwhile, Finance Ministry's Fiscal Policy Agency had Febrio Gajaribu, in his official statement, as quoted from kontan.go.id, explained that the presidential decree on carbon economic value ratification was an important milestone in deciding Indonesian policy towards the NDC target in 2030 and net zero emission in 2060. The efforts by Indonesian government in reducing greenhouse gas emission needs cooperation with other countries. It surely is a great work that needs cooperation and, of course, a big fund.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, today in history starts with the event on November 4, 1921, when Prime Minister of Japan Harada Tasaki was killed. On November 4, 1921, Hara was stabbed to death by Nakaoka Konichi, railroad caretaker, right wing follower at Tokyo Station while taking a train to Kyoto for a party conference. One of Nakaoka's motives for killing Hara was that Nakaoka believed that Kara was corrupt. Nakaoka was also influenced by his superior, who was Hara's vocal opponent. Initially, Nakaoka was sentenced to death, but he was later sentenced to life in prison. Then he was released 13 years after committing the murder. Next event was in 2008, when Barack Obama was elected as the 44th President of the United States of America. Barack Hussein Obama II is an American politician who served as the 44th President of the United States after he won the November 4, 2008 election. He became the first African American to hold the office. He became the first African American to serve as President of the United States of America. Obama was sworn in as president on January 20, 2009. We end today in history with the event in 2010 when Aero-Caribbean Flight 883 crashed in Cuba. Aero-Caribbean ATR 72212 crashed in the province of Sancti Spiritus, Cuba. The accident killed all 61 passengers and 7 crew members. As of November 5, 2010, this accident was the deadliest accident in the history of the ATR 72 type aircraft and the third deadliest accident in Cuba. Well, listener, that was today in history, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Apa yang
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be by Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the efforts of G20 member countries can be an example for climate change mitigation cooperation. Indonesia wants the G20 to give an example, to lead the world, joining hands in mitigating the climate change and managing environment sustainably with real action. That was stated by President Joko Widodo in Rome, Italy on Sunday when speaking at the second session of the G20 summit about climate change, energy, and environment. President Joko Widodo added, G20 must be the catalyst of the green recovery and to ensure no one is left behind. He further remarked that climate change mitigation must be put in the great framework of sustainable development. Climate change mitigation, according to President Joko Widodo, must move forward along with other global challenges, such as poverty eradication and achieving the Sustainable Development Goals. In his remark, President Joko Widodo said, as an owner of the world's greatest tropical forest, Indonesia has a strategic meaning in handling climate change. This strategic position is used for contribution. The president explained, deforestation in Indonesia can be suppressed into the lowest point in the last 20 years. Indonesia also had rehabilitated 3 million hectares of critical land back in 2010 until 2019. On the occasion, Joko Widodo said Indonesia had targeted the net zero carbon for land and forest sector no later than 2030 and net zero in 2060 or sooner. The net zero area is being developed, including the development of the Green Industrial Park in North Kalimantan that uses renewable energy and produces green products. Previously, in a remark in front of the UN General Assembly some time ago, our President Joko Widodo reminded the importance of developing country empowerment in energy transition and encouraging technology innovation to build a sustainable global economy. The president wants to pay a great attention to technologies that can be offered by G20 countries for developing countries in the energy transition.
Kita ada. saja engkau pergi dariku. Biar ku bunuh perasaan untukmu. Meski berat melangkah hatiku, hanya tak siap terluka.
Listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, today we are going to present to you about Nusa Tourism Village. It is one of the tourism villages in Indonesia, which carries the theme of disaster education. Located in Lok Nga, Aceh Besar District, or 30 kilometers away from downtown of Banda Aceh City, Nusa Tourism Village is a village that was built by the community independently after the tsunami that hit Aceh in 2004. If any tourists may visit the village, they can learn about disasters in the area, as well as local wisdom owned by the surrounding community. To enter this tourism village, visitors would feel the atmosphere of the village that is so beautiful. To travel to Nusa Tourism Village, one can see the green rice fields and rivers around. The scenery looks perfect with Baisan Hills as the background. You can also enjoy the scenery while camping and fishing in the area that has been provided. Besides enjoying the natural beauty of nature, visitors can also learn about recycling trash processing. The residents of Nusa Tourism Village process proper waste to make handicrafts worth selling. The handicrafts that can be found in the area are tissue boxes, pencil cases, synthetic flowers, vases, and other home decorations. The visitors can also buy typical woven clothes of Aceh Besar Jansi, as well as bags and hats made from processed trash.
Music.
of Nusa Tourism Village still keep their traditional and local culture values so that tourists can feel the experience of the village's culture. They can see the art performances such as Sedati Dance, Rapai Geleng Dance, Ranup Lampuan Dance, and Rato Duet Dance. As a gift, besides buying handicrafts from the local community, tourists can also buy Oen Temuru chips. It is one of the creative economic products from the people of Nusa Tourism Village. The snacks are based on curry leaves processed as chips. Curry leaves are generally known as mixed ingredients of typical cuisine of Aceh, namely ayam tangkap. Besides the Oen Temuru chips, visitors can also taste bulangong soup, banana chips, honey, kembang goyang, timpan asu kaya, soupet cake, kekara, and emping melinjo. If tourists want to stay in this village, they may stay at the traditional wooden stilt houses built by the local people independently. Well, listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well then, listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
Listeners, in general, gastronomy is a science that discusses good eating habits, or it's also associated with something related to the delicacy of food and beverage. However, according to Vita Datau, founder of the Indonesian Gastronomy Network, gastronomy is not only a matter of food and beverage served on the table, but also a science that studies the details of the story behind the food itself, from the history of food, the origin of food ingredients, processing, cooking methods, until how the food is eaten. So, gastronomy is an ecosystem that includes everything about food, from upstream to downstream. In addition, gastronomy also looks at how food is a part of the lifestyle of society. If there is food that is consumed for generations, gastronomy also looks at culture, how traditions are related to food. Take for example, food is also used in traditional ceremonies and offerings. Recently, Salatiga City has been proposed to be nominated as a Creative City of Gastronomy to the UNESCO Creative Cities Network, or UCCN. The certainty of the proposal was obtained through a letter from the Indonesian National Commission for UNESCO, or KNIU. Seen from various aspects, Salatiga City is considered an ideal city as a gastronomic city in Indonesia. The choice of Salatiga City as a gastronomic city is logical. In terms of location, it is very strategic for tourists to visit. It shares borders with three important cities in Central Java and Yogyakarta. They are Semarang, Surakarta, and Yogyakarta. Meanwhile, in terms of beauty, Salatiga City is quite beautiful. In fact, during colonial rule, it was nicknamed Salatiga Dia Sunste Stad van Midden Java, or Salatiga, the most beautiful city in Central Java. In addition, it has also long been the home of ethnic. It has its own strengths in culinary terms. There are very special dishes that are the mainstay of Salatiga City, including beef satay, opor duck, soto esto, gecok goat, ron sekuteng, enting-enting gepuk, and the iconic Salatiga City's specialty dish is tumpang koyor. Salatiga City is the second oldest city in Indonesia. It's 1,271 years old, so there are a lot of kinds of food that have existed for a long time and can be seen from the gastronomic perspective that supports the nomination of UCCN Gastronomy Heritage. Salatiga City has potential not only culinary but also diversity. It is a place where 196,082 people with various ethnicities mingle or interact together. This multi-ethnic population makes the gastronomic potential in Salatiga City very high. In the socio-cultural field, until now, acculturation in Salatiga City is still ongoing. This makes the community more appreciative of diversity and tolerance. The acceptance of diversity can also be good news for tourists who will visit and feel the friendliness of the people. The potential of Salatiga City cannot be separated from the achievement it has met. It has been awarded as the most tolerant city in Indonesia, child-friendly city, human rights-friendly city, and other awards. In addition, to get a world-class gastronomic city, there are many things that are prepared. One of them is ecosystem preparation, starting from the construction of traditional markets, local culinary education, to the improvement of service quality, cleanliness, health, and strengthening other ecosystems. Although ecosystem development is still ongoing, this effort does not need to start from the beginning because the gastronomic ecosystem in Salatiga City has developed very creatively. These strengths will be the initial capital as well as the most potential enchantments for the success of Salatiga City's journey as a gastronomic city. That's Miss Seleni.
Sampai hari ini ku takkan membuang waktuku dengan percuma. Saat seperti inilah yang aku suka. Aku takkan menyia-nyiakan kesempatan bersamamu. Saat seperti inilah yang aku tunggu. Sungguh ku ingin denganmu.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao yi fang qi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. 我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
We have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, today I'm going to talk about a song entitled Surat Undangan, sung by Nunung Wardiman. Nunung Wardiman is known as one of the best jazz female singers in Indonesia. Her name became known since she released two series of albums, Nada dan Improvisasi, in 1981. Afterwards, she released an album entitled Nunung Wardiman in 1983. One of the mainstay songs on this album is Surat Undangan, composed by Julius Viollet. This song is about a woman. One day she received a letter from her ex-boyfriend, whom she still loves. Unfortunately, the letter contains the ex's wedding invitation. Listener, here is Surat Undangan by Nunung Wardiman.
Berdebar hatiku membacanya dan kecewa.
Indonesia.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.